Greetings and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of November 8th, 2015. This is Jack Bressette-Mills. I have a conversation today with Nathan. Very happy about that. First, the verses taken from Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul for week 32. This one I wrote 2 years ago. Verse 32. Perhaps I am maturing. I feel a force in me ripening, and the fruit I bear will be myself. My spirit is a tightening bowstring, and I discover a tender certainty that I shall fly to the right mark. And this one I wrote last year, 32A. Let the day arrive, the door open, I am ready. What has been growing in me has matured to strength. I know what is needed and am all eagerness to help. Nathan and I met at a cafe last week. He had broken his foot, but he was pretty happy. If there was a show, Everybody Loves Nathan, you would agree it was the right title. Thank you, Nathan, for being my friend. Here you go.
I've noticed your podcast is listed as explicit. So
it is.
I'll take free range.
It is, yeah. So you broke your leg.
Yes.
And you were about to say that you wouldn't have broken your leg if you didn't have insurance. You just got insurance.
So, I think a month ago, I had signed up for this insurance with my new job, which I did not sign up for the first year because I thought, man, what a ripoff! And I thought,
it lowers your income. It lowers your pay.
You have to pay for it. They pay for part of it, but then I can't help but feel like it's kind of a scam.
Yeah, the business is paying the insurance company instead of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way.
And then I have to contribute a significant portion.
Oh, okay.
So, and the people who are getting rich off this is the insurance company.
Yeah, definitely.
I know it's a scam, but, I thought, well, I'll work the first year at this job and not. Because you can only apply once a year.
Okay.
I work the first year and then I'll apply because I'm a gambler.
Yeah.
So, I apply.
You went.
Yeah. You sign up in September, it becomes active in October.
Okay.
October 25th or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Are.
Thursday.
Here we are.
Snap! I break my foot.
Oh.
And so that's kind of cool. It would have been a lot of money, I'm sure. I don't know. I pay $25 now. But I don't think this would have happened if I didn't have insurance. I don't think this would happen. But because I have insurance, this was an option for me to get what I wanted, which was to, I had gotten way in over my head with commitments. Kind of wanted to take a break from social things in a way. I had gone to a party maybe a week before and thought, I just felt miserable about myself in this way where I thought, and maybe I shouldn't blame myself, but it's the something in this environment probably where I wasn't thriving. I felt miserable and I thought, I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to go home and work on myself. Because I've been ignoring myself in a certain way, a personal, just kind of inner growth. And then, over my head with these commitments and work obligations that I don't need to take on, but I do, because people ask me, and I say, okay, I'll do. And so it's great. I break my foot the next day. I call them in the morning and say, I'm sorry, I broke my foot, I can't come.
And everyone understands,
yeah.
Right? Wow, yeah.
you can't call people and say, you know, I realize I really don't feel like coming back with your property. It's not that I mind that, the balance is important. So, and I had gone out of balance with that. So I like doing that stuff, but the balance is gone. So I break my foot. I've been playing trumpet a couple hours every day. I've been, studying chess. I've been sleeping as much as I should.
So this has been 2 days, 3 days? What are you doing?
So let's see, Thursday, Friday. So I broke Thursday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Has there been a downside to it yet?
Well, I've had this boot on I can take on and off. So that's more comfortable. I can take a shower. I just got this hard cast on. It's blue. The calf is blue.
They painted it for you, or did they?
What color do you want?
What color do you want?
Pink, green, black, orange, yellow. Nice.
Blue. Yeah,
so I'll take the blue one. Okay. The downside is you can't go swimming.
Yeah. You didn't really ask for this. Not really.
No,
not
but really. I did ask for. In some way, I was wanting, you know, some kind of out. And this isn't out, so I'm happy. I'll take it. And I guess because I'm in some kind of harmonious state, this wouldn't have happened to me if I, you know, didn't have some kind of network that would allow it to not be a crisis.
Yeah.
Like, I've got this silly job with sick pay and everything.
Imagine,
and,
Yeah, without that, my goodness, this would be terribly bad luck.
Mm-hmm. And I think I won't do all of the things that I do for work, but I can go do enough work, and probably that would be kind of nice.
Because your main job will let you back. They're not going to say, well, you're no good.
They can't.
Get rid of you. Is that true? They can't? Because you didn't break it on their dime, right? You weren't working for them at the moment.
I wasn't working for them.
So they can say, well, this is your own fault. There's no anti-discrimination law about being fired for being injured, right?
I guess after, if say, all my sick pay ran out, they would have to give me family medical leave act, which is 12 weeks, at which case they can't fire you. And they have to give you your job back at your exact same, everything's exactly the same.
When I thought of talking with you today, I thought of Jackson told me a story yesterday of an uncle of his who's had bad luck. He's in a terrible auto accident and he broke ribs and legs and hasn't died, which is good, but he can't move, which isn't good. And he's about 55. And just before this, he had an operation to make himself able to see. He couldn't really see. He was always kind of hampered, couldn't get a good job because he couldn't see very well. They finally discovered an operation that made him see better. This is the first week he's been able to see well, and then suddenly, bam, he's now out of commission for months, and I'm thinking, bad luck. I can't explain bad luck, except... So here, I'm trying to tie this into you. You seem to think there's some order to the world, that this is exactly what you want. Is it possible that people with bad luck are getting what they need, not just what they deserve, like karma, but that somehow you need... this whole picture, if we live several lives and this life is only for improving in a certain way, and so suffering this one life might be a good thing, I mean, that can explain the whole thing, but it's really, you have no idea what the heck's going on.
I don't know if there's any real perfect order to it, but there seems to be some order to it. There's a lot of unwarranted suffering and bad luck.
I know.
And plenty of people have good luck and certainly don't deserve it.
Right.
But
of course, they all say they do. I must have
worked really hard for this. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it may be there's an awareness, or maybe an awareness creates this false idea of things just making perfect sense. But to me, it's been my experience that everything always seems to kind of make sense somehow.
Yeah.
And you know, there's been plenty of things in my life that I wish hadn't happened, but who knows what, when something happens, whether it's good luck or bad luck, you know, you might win the lottery and that could be the worst thing that ever happened to you. In fact, it would probably cause a lot of problems to suddenly be really rich. And you might, you know, you might break your leg and it might protect you from something worse happening. So I try and be at peace with what, you know, kind of where the things out of my control take me, because what can you do but let them take you where you go?
That's right.
And whether it's living that way is some path to some higher state, I don't really care, but I just think, I mean, I would like to think that I'm doing that and I'm being elevated, but I think the point is more that, you know, you are only in control to an extent, and maybe you're just the happiest when you don't struggle against things that are out of your control, or maybe that you choose what's worth trying to control. Because sometimes you really have to fight out of a bad situation or to make your life what you want. But a lot of times you can be mad. I can call my friends and complain about this. But really, you know, I might as well just hang out and enjoy it. Because this is kind of a treat in a lot of ways.
There's that great old movie, You Can't Take It With You, where the guy, the opening scene, the old guy has crutches. And he said, "Oh, I broke my foot the other day. I've always wanted to try crutches." You know, and he's an obvious nut, and yet he's the smartest guy in the movie.
I made a big pot of soup there that I can eat, you know, have some soup to eat for, you know, the next couple of days, and that would be kind of cool. So I make a big pot of soup, and it's kind of hard, you know, get around the kitchen. And I want to put a lot of stuff in it, so I'm moving around. And then I get the soup all done, and I rented a movie, and I was going to, you know, watch a movie and eat the soup. And I thought, oh, how am I going
to
get the soup?
Yeah.
How am I going to get the soup across the room?
The new thought.
So that's fun.
There's an exercise I saw a video for. They're selling it as the solution to intelligence, that everyone gets smarter if they just do this exercise. And I watched it and I realized it's not just that exercise. The exercise was crossing your arms, holding your earlobes with the other hand, squatting and exhaling as you fall and inhaling as you rise. And they've shown that that exercise causes increased brain function. And I realized, no, not that exercise. The fact that you're doing something you never did before.
Yeah.
And you're having to concentrate against what you normally
would
do.
Of course nobody would do that.
And so, exactly, this cast is making you smarter, you know, because you're rethinking everything.
Yeah.
It's not the cast itself, but the fact that you're forced out of your little routines.
It's great. It is great. And, you know, not that I was... didn't have any empathy for people who live with disabilities their whole life, but...
And we're not talking about that.
You know, the first time you're in a grocery store on your crutches, and then you see other people who maybe are old, are injured, or sick, and stuff like going to the store is a struggle.
Yeah.
And you reach a higher... just a deeper connection with that feeling that other people have. And I think that, you know, that that brings us closer to our fellow people that we're here with. And makes us more connected to others. So it's like anything, you go to Europe and your experience is broadened.
Yep.
You know, it's breaking your leg is maybe just as good.
You can almost feel luckier after breaking the leg than before. I had a
This is so temporary.
Yes,
8 weeks
totally,
of my life.
Totally.
I'm going to be 40.
Can,
what's
and you totally empathize with everybody who has permanent damage.
Mm-hmm.
And the level of injury, too. You say, well, it could have been this, and it could have been that. It could have been much worse.
Oh, yeah.
I've been wondering if there's an illness or injury I could have for myself that I wouldn't be able to think of as good luck somehow. I mean, personally. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about myself. If I broke a leg, oh yeah, I can now read my book, or now I can write that book. You know, you're able to turn anything into, like you said, I won't be able to run downtown and get run over by that big semi-truck that was going to hit me today.
Yeah.
You're able to turn anything into good luck if you think about it. It's sick to talk to other people about that. You can't you can't tell other people that they should be happy with their injury. No. You yourself can do whatever the heck you want with your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and if you choose not to be bummed out today, I mean, how can I say you're wrong? You should really be miserable right now. Other people would be miserable.
If my leg wasn't broken, I wouldn't be sitting here with you.
No, we're sitting here because your leg is broken.
I'd have to be somewhere else.
I don't know if it matters that we ever figured out. Everyone wants to know, is our life programmed and planned by lords of karma, or is it all completely random from the very beginning? And does it matter? It matters that you think about it. I want to think about it.
Yeah.
And I try to reason both ways. I really try to say, okay, if it's random, then. And then I go the whole way. And then I go, okay, if it's planned and there's purpose, then. And I try to go that whole way. And I really try to balance the two and see which one makes more sense. I want the world to make sense.
Yeah. The world would have to make some sense to have gotten this far. I mean, it takes a lot of order to make a giant sphere and to have all the elements we need for life and sustainability. And in a way, you know, things naturally organize themselves and then dissipate and reorganize.
You know, this idea of entropy, that everything wants to fall apart. But the only way there could be anything falling apart is that there's something put together in the first place.
Yeah.
And so the tree in front of us is organized somehow, but entropy is working its best to try to tear it apart.
Yeah.
This organizing principle of the world, it seems that things on an equal basis want to organize. They want to come together just as badly as things want to come apart.
Yeah.
And we're really good at the coming apart part of the world. We can really understand that part. We can see how the randomness of the molecules juggling and jiggling and we can totally understand that part. But why things come together and want to group and want to work together and want to get larger, we're not very good at that.
Maybe then change is a constant. If it's not entropy and it's not just growth or organization, it's that things are always in, from some perspective, a slow state of reorganizing and reforming.
And then the other hand is, why do we think about it? Why do we care? I mean, I don't see my dog thinking about it very much, you know?
Yeah. Or does he? He might think about it more than you do. You would never know.
I'm finishing this book, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And it turned out the mice were the real smart things on the whole planet. And all the experiments we did on them...
Their experiments on the people?
They were actually turning left in the maze for our sake to cause us to have these conclusions. They were so subtle and wide thinking that they actually caused us to take results out of their tests. My brother Dan recently said, it's got to be something like after everybody's massacred and everybody's dead, somebody comes along and says, oh, it's okay. Everybody just get up now. It's over now. We can now go on to what we were doing. He said that's the only thing that makes sense, that at the end of everything, someone's going to go, well, come on. Yeah, don't worry about
punch
it.
Punch those guys in the nose. You
prick. Suddenly, it's this God in the machine is turning the whole thing upside down, making everything all right.
Yeah.
When nothing makes sense, and then suddenly, oh, okay, everything makes sense. I think the only reason I think about it is it lifts me out of the normal. I'm not now thinking about what time it is. I gotta go do this.
Yeah.
That somehow, I can tell that's deadening to me. That's not making me better.
Yeah.
But if I can talk about purpose of life, good luck, bad luck, something more healthy is going on in my head, in my body. A little nicer. You know, the Greeks used to say, every stranger is from Zeus. If someone knocks at the door, the first thing you do is come in.
Yeah.
Are you hungry? And then you feed them a whole meal.
Yeah.
Totally after dinner, everything is done. Then you say, now, who are you? And where are you from? Tell me about yourself. Because that's how you treat the God's messenger.
Yeah.
And if you live that way... That's a wonderful mythology. If you live that way, your life is better. Not just the stranger's life is better. Of course, he's happy. But your life is better. You treat people better, and you, yourself. So anyway, my thinking about these things is only for that purpose. It's a selfish purpose. I live a better life, imagining purpose in order to break broken limbs.
I've heard someone say that the most advanced thing that a civilization can say is welcome.
Nice.
That's the most advanced state of a civilization. That they're so developed that they don't see things as threats and they have something to offer others. And the correlation that this was brought up to was the deepest thought behind jazz music is that...
Jazz music.
Yes, is that what it is saying to you is welcome and to come into the space and... Allow change, allow yourself to be changed, allow yourself to experience something and have it go through you and to be different when it's over, because I think in general, and myself too, is really resistant to change, big change, little change is fine, but big change of things happen and you refuse to let them change you. You refuse to let go of your habits or comforts of your history. But I think it would be a big step for people to really allow their experiences on day-to-day level especially, but on any level, to really let experiences shape them. And when something happens that they feel an impact, to not just feel emotional for a few minutes or half an hour and then say, wow, that was crazy, and go back, but to say, well, everything's different now that I've seen, you know, that man drown, or to see or, you know, to have experienced love, or to, you know, to be fed a wonderful, huge meal, it can really change your life. And to, you know, these can be really big, deep experiences. And they're not just a wave of emotion. They're you've become aware of something that's real in the universe.
That's got to be the most important thing for us. We do it every night. Every night we're constantly thrown into things we never thought of. At least me. I'm totally going nuts. I didn't realize I had ladies' shoes before, but I guess I wear ladies' shoes. You know, again and again, you're just doing something completely bizarre, and it's totally normal. It's got to be the most important thing for us, otherwise we wouldn't be doing it every night.
Right, right.
But what you said, I don't know that we do it. I saw the old film from the 2004 tsunami, and I watched the waves coming in, and I saw people disappearing, and today I'm the same as I was yesterday, I think. Did I really change seeing that? You know, what good did that do me? Maybe it changed me. I hope it did. What can I do differently today now that I saw how fragile life is, how powerful the earth is? How come I'm not a new guy today? Maybe I am a new guy, but I don't know that I am. Modern people we see everything now on the internet. We see everything possible.
It makes everything seem not real. It makes it seem like it didn't really happen. It's just another visual thing you saw.
It was crazy how many people, even when they're swirling underwater, they're still taking movies as their own death. They're kind of turning the camera on themselves. Just, this is how I look when I'm dying, you know?
A deathy.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're pretty open to anything right now. We're just used to everything now. And so it's hard to change us. It almost seems like a broken limb is the least that can happen to us that'll make us slightly different now for a day or two. We'll get a little different, and then we'll figure out how to go back to how we used to be as quick as possible.
Yeah, I don't like that going back. I do that. But that's something that I want to work on, is not, because then it becomes like a, you know, everything becomes the thrill that you're like, it's like when people say, wow, we did the Grand Canyon.
We did it, yeah.
We didn't really do it, you know. We're going to do Vietnam next. You know, it's like consuming experiences and pooping them out. And experiences aren't, you know, they're not that temporary, you know. An experience is, as long as you have a memory, is a permanent experience. And if you've ever truly done the Grand Canyon, then you're still doing it right now. Maybe you're never finished with an experience if you've had it. It's always in there as a piece of you that every second is contributing in some way to your feelings and the way who you are.
Well, the Grand Canyon right now is doing it right now. Right now, the Grand Canyon
it's
is there.
There.
And there's water going through it.
Uh-huh.
There's this higher level I've seen talked of, that if you were actually able to penetrate the present moment fully, even within 10 meters of yourself, it would be so bizarre to really be in touch with the sap in the tree and the plant's life and the microbes in the soil and, you know, the emotional state of every human around you. And the solar particles bouncing off the ionosphere. I don't know, that's a little too far away. But that would be the ultimate in living. You would be living that moment. And then the rest of your life, you'd be trying to remember how you did it. And if you could do it, you could expand it to be more than 10 meters. You could reach the Grand Canyon. then if you could expand that, you could reach the moon, you know, you could get... But to really experience the moment, and not just within yourself, which would be enough, it would be enough to experience what's in yourself.
Yeah.
But to actually experience any moment.
It was, maybe that's why we don't do it. It is too much.
I almost think that's why, that would make everything clear about after death and pre-birth purpose and all that. If we were able to think outside of the linear track, we have one point of view stepping forward second by second. But that's not how it works. The world actually works all points of views.
Yeah.
No such thing as time. Time is something we created.
Yeah.
And so that's why we can't remember past lives, we can't know about after death, is that we're only thinking this stupid minimalist way of step by step in one track. And maybe that's when we have these accidents, or suddenly we need to act, suddenly we open up and we can see everything at the moment. The great samurai warrior can fend off the arrows and the axes and the swords and the at the same moment, and he turns knowing that he has to turn. And that of course, if you had a moment of that, you would not go back. I don't think you would go back to your way of life.
It would take a lot.
How about a cup of coffee?
Okay. I mean, everything has to be infinite in all directions.
And it is, of course.
And so there, and even to what level is it just physical space, or is it, you know, possibilities of, you know, am I really living, you know, 10,000 different lives and only able to be aware of one experience because of my, you know, my stifled state that we all live in? But maybe there's another world where I didn't break my leg, and you know, another world where you know, everything is just slightly different. Like a tree just branching off as far as it grows, it's continually dividing and dividing and dividing.
Well, I'm glad for this morning and that you're here and that your cast is blue.
Me too.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you, Jeff.
Very nice. Thank you again, Nathan. If you have comments or suggestions, please drop me a line at reasoningwithanoptimist.net. I hope you listen again next week. This is Jack Brissett Mills. Bye-bye.